Welcome back to the pod.
To the pod.
Not anymore.
I know. I almost just said what we used to say, but no, we are switching it up, which I am very excited about.
We have graduated, no longer freshmen. We are a little bit more elevated, I'd like to think, 2 years later.
I know. And it didn't even feel like freshman at the time. You know, when our last podcast was in 2022, almost 2 years ago, which is crazy. But it's now, I'm very excited for this next version, which we thought a lot about the name. And this next go around, it was important for us to have more of our personalities, more of us in it, even though it's always been us. But we, you know, I've talked about how we felt like we had to, you know, button up a little with the last pod, and this one, not so much.
Exactly. Yeah. We've always, just being young women at all in a professional setting, I think have always really had to put on a very professional vibe and want to appear that way and seem like we've got it all figured out, and we've never had it all figured out. So I think this switch will really it just seems more true to ourselves, and it'll really kind of like show our personalities more and like the real vibes, not just everything's great, everything worked. We know everything there is to know, because we definitely don't.
Totally. And I feel like that it just gives us more authenticity and realness, which we feel that in our day to day, but there is definitely this lens I think that all entrepreneurs feel like they have to put on when they're just trying to keep it together. And man, these past couple of years have been continuously insane. So it's nice to have an outlet where we can talk openly about what has been going on.
Yeah. So we still will talk about specific business topics, but I think we'll share many more anecdotes and fun things that have happened along the way and really give our genuine perspectives rather than just a fully kind of educational take on some things, which is more fun in my opinion. So yeah, it'll be good. I think it's going to be a little interesting twist, but better.
Yes. Well, Kenz, tell people where our name came from with this next version, the blend with Kenz and Chan.
The blend. Yes. So really we were thinking, yeah, we want to start the pod again. We want to get the podcast up and running, but Freshman Founders just didn't really seem to fit the same. It just felt like we've outgrown it a little bit. And so the blend is really kind of a mix of our business lives with our personal lives. So we're blending it all, because really this is who we are. Like, we are, our business is so integrated within our life and within our personalities that, you know, like, it's just being us and who we are and sharing real stories about our lives, that it's one and the same. It doesn't have to be like, this is a version of me and that is the real version of me that only my close friends get to see. Like, it's, we want to just be true and keep it real, keep it honest. Like, it is a blend of business and personal, but it's just life, really.
I love it too. I know we were throwing a lot of different names around, but then we both kind of at the same time came to this name together, and it really became the front runner. And why I love it too is because, like you're saying, that's really our lives together. Like, it's a blend of friendship, business, it's our lives. And I feel like we're one of the few that have really made that kind of partnership and friendship work, and for the amount of time we have. So it just makes sense. Like, it is, it's blended.
So true. That's such a good point. That's a difference too. I think our lives have been blended, our whole careers, our entire 20s has been the blend. It's been a blend. So many things. So yeah. I love it. It's true. It is all encompassing.
Yes. And so with Freshman Founders, like we're going ahead and we're just starting our next season as the blend, but we'll have the old episodes available. And so it'll just be there and people will see it's more like a fundraising episode or your minimum viable product or, various things. But for those who are maybe listening, not sure how you find us, but pumped that you're here. But for those who are listening, really how we even got started, maybe we talk a little bit about that, just our quick background if they're new.
Yes, no, that's a good idea. And it shouldn't be so different from old. Like, it's not like you're going to be like, what is going on? Like, it's still us about business-ish type things. We're just going to be a little less buttoned up, I think, which makes it more entertaining.
For sure.
But I'm Mackenzie, by the way. This is my voice if you're just on audio, and Channing is the other one.
Hello, hello.
And we started our company Eva about 8 years ago now, while we were still in college at Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes, and we just started working together in various ways. Instant, best friends, but also wanting to really find, just that passion project that ultimately became our business that we were super into during college. And so it's been a wild ride through the years. And why we even first started Freshman Founders was because we started in college, and a lot of college students and universities were asking us the questions of how did you start? Why did you start in college? What was it like starting a business, growing a business while you were in school? And so that's why we started the podcast, was to answer those questions more on a wider scale. So like Mackenzie's saying, we now just find that there's kind of that next version of talking it through. So I'm excited to dive in. I feel like we've got some good things to chat about this season.
Yes, we definitely do. We have a lot. And it's been 2 years since our last recording. So obviously, a lot has happened since then. Our last episode that we recorded was about fundraising, which is like a lot of our time, like, especially you. That is so much time that has gone into this many years in business now. And it's a very important thing, a topic. Like, everyone wants to know about it. It's hard to understand. There's nuances. So that's why we've had so many episodes just about fundraising. And it just doesn't end. There's always more to learn.
Totally. And I what we talked so much about on, a couple years ago was really early stage investing. And there's so many different phases of that. And that's why we're always learning, because yeah, there's early stage angel pre-seed, but then there becomes seed, micro VC, major VC, strategics, like all kinds that you really get thrown into as an entrepreneur. And yes, so really to catch everyone up to speed, so our last episode was mid of 2022, like May, I think. And that was then 2023 was like the year of fundraising for us. And as many know, of course, if with the economy, it was bad, bad news. So bad.
Box.
And it's crazy. Like, I mean, we've obviously talked to so many founders, and it's across the board. Like, everyone feels like 2023 was harder
Yeah.
than the pandemic.
Definitely for our business. And not even like not revenue wise necessarily, but just like challenges that we couldn't even predict. Obviously, COVID was unpredictable too, but like at least when we were in 2020, we're like, well, it's gonna keep sucking for a while. Like, we know this is shit and it's not gonna get better. But then by 2023, we're like, oh, this is our year. This is our comeback, right?
And
Wrong.
it wasn't wrong. Yeah, so wrong. I think it just like with the economy, like things just stopped, like major cuts had to be made. And obviously we saw that on the in the financial industry first, thus, which was banking, investment. So we saw it on that side.
Wow.
Then later we saw it on the corporate side. So it was just like a double hit nonstop.
Yeah. Like SVB fallout, which was
Oh my
a great
God.
time. That's so fun.
Such a typical startup situation. Yeah. And so really 2023, we kind of set out to say, okay, now's the time where we want to raise a substantial round. We've been raising these little like pre-seed and seed rounds. But this is the time where we really want to go out and raise some big dollars because we feel like we're at a point now where we can really scale. And so that was our decision at the time. And we have two stories to really talk about today. And they have to do a lot with other people valuing your business. And man, that's just, it's been such a journey because of where we're at now. I know we kind of have to go back in time to talk about it, but it's even crazy to see how much more differently you and I feel about our business and how we operate versus how we did last year.
Yeah. No, I think we just keep going through the ringer and like getting so thick-skinned from it, like skin of steel now, honestly, because like nothing is going to, I keep saying that like nothing could surprise me, but knock on wood, I know that's not true.
Well, it's going to come. It's going to happen. But no, I think we are very resilient. We just figure it out. But that's what you have to do. And that's, I think, why we're still here today. But yeah, it was such a wild time because I remember you and I were right in the process of like, okay, what are we going to set our terms as? And we were just starting in March. We went to South By to really start a lot of investor conversations. And another big learning lesson is someone may say that they can help you, they can advise you, but like we've had to go through the ringer on actually like vetting those people.
Or even easier said than done. Even people saying, oh, I will invest. Like, saying it doesn't mean anything. Like until there is a contract, it doesn't, that means nothing.
Yeah. And I'm so jaded, not in a bad way, but it's like now when someone says that, I'm like, it is not done until it's in the account, not even signed contract. Like it's takes a lot to get it all the way through.
Yeah.
And I feel like we have had a lot of people and it's just, I don't know why, but it seems like maybe this happens to every founder, but it's like people come out of the woodwork who say they can help you, say they're gonna, you know, do big things for you. And you're like always hesitant because you're like, okay, but then like they start showing you, oh wow, okay, like this person either knows what they're talking about, like they have major connections, they have the money. But then it's like, I don't know. A lot of times they don't follow through and then you're left hanging. And that's what happened that first go around for us.
Yeah. Yeah. We were getting a lot of feedback from several people, but like, so one person in particular, I'm thinking like, was just hyping us up, which is great. Makes us feel good. Makes us feel great. You want to get good feedback. You want to be boosted up, but they just came from a different world. Like definitely the San Francisco super high valuation, like SaaS products and like tech, which, you know, we are tech. We have a technology aspect. We have a SaaS model coming soon. But like, that's just not us. And like, we can't really compare, but we like thought we could. We thought we were that $100 million business at this time. And we're still not. I mean, we're not even close. That's just not, we're more realistic in knowing like, hey, maybe someday that would be cool. But like, no way. It's so not realistic to like say that's what we are right now. And we were getting the feedback that like, oh yeah, you could.
Yeah.
Raise at that.
And I think too, I mean, it's also crazy how like the venture capital industry bottomed out shortly after that. Like right after. But to us, like being a company, like we've always been a little self-conscious that we're a business based out of Nashville. Like, we're not on the East Coast, West Coast. And so naturally, like, multiples, investors, like, that's going to look different. And I think we were always, you know, just more self-conscious of like, oh, okay, like, maybe we're thinking small on what our valuation is. And there's companies over in Silicon Valley that are getting these crazy valuations. And at the time, that was still, the market was really hot. Yeah. And so when they were telling us, hey, no, you got to be valued at this, this is your terms, like, trust us, we are investing at this rate, this is what it is, double your valuation from what you think. We were like, oh, okay, like, we've never had this kind of feedback before. We've never had a mentor like this before. So let's do it. And now, fast forward, seeing the market, it's completely righted itself. And like, all those companies that were getting valued at that are done. And so it's just insane to see, like, even what happened, you know, months after,
yeah,
when that all went down.
Well, and also, I mean, I always hear how women like undervalue their companies.
Yes.
And like, we're just more realistic about revenue projections and what our value is. Like, we're probably not going to, like, if we do $1 million in revenue, we're not going to say we're worth $100 million. Like, that's, you know, we're just a little more realistic. And we do know dudes who are like, we'll do that. They're like, yeah, I'm worth $100 million, yeah, but I've barely made $4 yet. Like, and we've seen them, yeah, raise at that. And we're like, well, maybe that's, you know, maybe we're our own detriment, but, you know, realism is not a bad thing, I think.
For sure. And I think now looking back, I don't think it's ever hurt us to be realistic entrepreneurs on what we can hit and what we are. Yeah. Because I think that it's really, the industry's writing itself anyways. And so then, like, one of the hardest things that I've had to look back on from that year was, we got a term sheet at the valuation we should have been at. Like, getting a term sheet from a lead investor, that's like the hardest thing to have happen when you're finding the right person who believes in you.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, listening to this feedback that our valuation should be double. And so we technically turned it down. And then the industry crashed. And oh, guess what? That's the valuation we should have been at. And so then we go to raise it that, but we had lost that term sheet from the very beginning. You know, everything works out the way it should, because ultimately that wasn't the right investors for us. And we've now been able to see that we did end up finding the right ones for us to lead our round. But it's just insane, because that was like 6 months of running around like our heads were cut off. And it's just crazy to look back on and go, wow, just because we listened to someone else's advice, we maybe missed out on a big opportunity.
Yeah. I remember getting that term sheet, literally opening the doc and being like, oh, yeah, right. Like, oh, we could never. And showing it to Jason Carabinos, we'll name drop when we love them, like,
yes,
a great mentor of ours. He showed it to me. Oh my God. Like, a bird in the hands, we're two in the bush, literally said that phrase. And I was like, what? But I was like, no, I literally was like, eye roll. Nope. We're so much better than this. We're going to raise at double this valuation. And he was like, okay.
Yep.
Hey, go for it. No. You get another term sheet for at least like 6 months after that, and nothing ever even came close. I mean, we did end up raising that valuation that they wrote that first term sheet for, like a year later.
Actually, a little bit more, but
all right, I'll take
it. You know, a little bit more, but still, like, we should have taken it. We should have taken it. And it's hilarious you bring up David, because there's a mentor who's always just been so straight-laced with us, so real, puts us in our place in the best way. And that's like been another huge learning lesson, I feel like, for me, is just like navigating the right people to be helping guide us. And definitely I got astray early last year with just all these people pumping in these ideas for us. And yeah, it got really messy after that.
Yeah. And it's when someone's been super successful and they've raised and they've sold and they are rich and they like have the success that you want and they're giving you advice, yeah. It's really hard to try and like go your own path. Cause you're like, well, what do I know? I've never sold a company. I've never raised a
home. Exactly.
I've never done that. So I must follow you cause you must know more than me. And even that, like.
That is so true.
Maybe not.
No, it's so true because I think that has honestly been one of the hardest learning lessons for me personally, because I feel like naturally I have, you know, so I'm like, okay, I'll be a sponge. I'll take in everything. And we've always said from the beginning, like, you know, take it all back to home base and decide what you're going to work off of. You know, not everyone's advice is going to be the right for you. But I think really the journey has been growing into trusting ourselves, because people say it like only you know your business the best. Like you're only going to care about it the most. Like you're only going to work the hardest. Right. And I think we've really gotten to see that over these past few years, and just having the confidence in ourselves to really listen to our gut and go, you know, and I feel like we would have taken that whole situation had it happened today, it would have gone completely differently.
I'd like to think so. And it's just, it shows like those like crap mentors, I haven't talked to them in a long time. Like they're gone.
Never again.
All of the mentors that have been given us like terrible advice, they're literally like don't exist anymore. Whereas the good ones, you know, they're still around. Maybe we don't talk every day, but like we still keep up. They are definitely in the know and they care about us as people and our business. And it's hard to see through people sometimes. Like you really can trust the wrong people pretty easily. And maybe we're learning a little how not to, but it's tough.
Yeah, that hits home, because honestly, I think as a early first time founder, we're always like, okay, we don't know what we don't know. Let's go learn from others. And I think that now we're almost starting to look at mentors, consultants, advisors, like we're almost starting to interview them like team members, because it's like, if we are going to take up our precious time now from building our business to listen to you, like, is that really worth it? Is what you're going to bring to the table what we need to be hearing? So we have to balance that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. And why we're sharing this is because at the time, it just was a complete shit show. We, you know, the whole industry was experiencing such craziness and we were just having to get by. Like that was so hard. Yep. And recognizing the fact that like, hey, I made a mistake. Like I listened to this person and it happened, got to pick back up and go get it done. And that was like really brutal on the mental health to realize time had just been wasted. Of course, everything works out for a reason, but it's like time was wasted on that. And we don't have time to waste when we're in this growth.
Yeah.
Mode.
You went through the ringer with fundraising last year too, just in the environment too. Talk about wasting time. Like some of these investors, we're just scared to commit to things. So they're like, let's just do 17,000 hours of due diligence. And like, you're going to answer everything that I've ever needed to know about any business and say no. Never. Like, I'm still going to say no. It's like just totally. The chase. Like, you're not going to hurt my feelings.
So everything we just said happened in 2022. I may have accidentally said 2023, but just like checking myself. That happened in 2022. It all blends together. One big shit show. But then, so we got through that. And at the very end of 2022, another crazy thing happened. And we randomly met someone with a company who wanted to acquire our company. And this is like the complete opposite of, you know, for a founder's experience, fundraising and getting acquired. Like, those are the two big push and pulls. And, you know, I think because of everything we had been through that year, I, again, looked at that whole experience way different than I would have now. So, Kenz, you want to talk a little bit about it?
Yeah. So, gosh. So, someone like hyping us up, telling us we're worth $200 million, all the way to getting like a pretty terrible offer when it comes down to it. It took us a while to realize that and like understand fully what this AccuHire was going to look like, because it was sneaky. That's what like private equity does. But yeah, a company that's in the same industry as us, like events and entertainment, was like, we should partner. This makes perfect sense. Like, you guys have the tech. And we're like, yes, love this. And they, you know, were doing significantly more revenue than us, had been around a lot longer, just were more legit. And they were booking big names and like had great clients. So it all was like, ooh, fun. This might work out. Just got to know each other a lot, even really like trusted each other for a while there and really like enjoyed each other's company and worked well together. And then when it came down to it, the deal, thank God we just like could tell and could, and even had lawyers to help us decipher some things and didn't just like get excited about like quote being bought, because it would have been a terrible deal. Like it was no cash up front. It was like all earn out. We would have to hit goals to get any money, which is how a lot of deals are done and how people probably get screwed when they sell their businesses. We're like, wait a minute, we're seeing through the lines here. This is a terrible deal.
Yes. And thank goodness for great mentors who had been through it before. We really listened to our trusted advisors on this one because they had been through it. And that it's so sad to hear that a lot of founders take these deals because it sounds great and there's not clear understanding. And so there's not cash up front, like you're saying, there's all earn out. But then what happens is you have these specific goals you have to hit to get your earn out. But if they turn the faucet off of your resources because they own you now, or your budget or your campaign money, and you can't hit those goals, you get nothing. So one of the best pieces of advice we got during that time is you have to feel great to take the offer with the money that's on the table in the deal, to, because you may never see the rest. And it was like, easy answer, because we're not seeing anything up front. So we might not get
anything.
And
they also... companies like that take advantage of you when you're weak, when you're like need it. And gosh, I mean, they didn't know where we were financially or having so little luck with our fundraise, but we were struggling. Like, that was a really low point because the fundraising was just like, oh wow, it is not working. We are spending every month. We are going to have to start like, Chan and Kenz are going to have to skip some paychecks here soon. Like, it's not looking good. And so we were like, oh my gosh, how perfect could it be to literally get bought out right now and get some cash. But that was not the case. And it's been enough time now that, you know, obviously it's just a good lesson learned, but man, was that highs and lows emotionally.
It was crazy. And like, what was so wild to experience during that time is I feel like, thank goodness for our partnership and having a partner. I can't imagine. Well, actually, now, unfortunately, I've seen a lot of solo entrepreneurs, and not saying this is the case, but I've seen a lot of solo entrepreneurs take those deals, because just the weight you have to carry when you're in that low. And why I say that is because I felt like, and it's just, it's like spiritual almost now, but like, when I was at my lowest, you were like, no, we don't need this deal. Yeah. We can keep going. And when you were at your lowest thinking maybe we take the deal, I was like, no, screw this deal. Yeah. Let's keep going. If we had both been like, screw this, we might have taken it. And let's just say that That would not have been good. I'm not going to say this out loud, but that would not have been good.
No, we would not be here. Like, we would have not. Eva would be nothing, really. I mean, it's, no, thank God it worked out how it did. And it is, it is something spiritual or magical, whatever it might be, that we've always been on the opposite sides of the spectrum as far as our personal highs and lows, because damn, have we had those lows, but it's never both that we're like at zero. I think Brene Brown, I think of her on a podcast, they were talking about like a romantic relationship, but I think it will apply here of like, it's never 50-50. Mm-hmm. It's always, you just got to make it to 100. Maybe you're 80 and I'm 20, or maybe I'm 30, you're 70. Like whatever it is, we gotta match there, and it'll never be even all the time. And it fluctuates. But, and I'm like, yes, that's 100%. I mean, that's so accurate how it is with us and any type of relationship. Like, you got to pick it up when your partner needs you, and you're not always going to be even at 50, or sometimes neither of you are at 50. And then you got to figure something else out. Like, okay, we need to either hire someone to get some off. Like, we need help.
That's a great point. That's a really good point. I love that because it's so true. Like, I can picture these really specific moments in our journey together where, I mean, I remember coming to you at a really specific time where I was so low. I feel like personally I had hit a rock bottom, and I was like, and then there's almost what's beautiful too is, well, I have a sense of needing to share this with you because you're my partner and I owe you that. Like, I owe you knowing I'm not good right now. And just, it's so beautiful how then coming out of those conversations are always really scary to have, but yet we always feel so much better after, because it's like, no, come on. Like, you're good. We got this. And
that's amazing. I know. It is funny how we both do that. Like, we'll not be so real about it. And then eventually it comes out, because of course you can't hide it forever. And then it's like, dude.
Yeah.
I got you. Like, we're good. It's always so much better just even saying it out loud. Like, man, I am struggling. Like, this, I am stressed. This thing is not working. This person is hard to deal with, whatever it might be in the business. It's like, it always gets better, and it always does end up working out.
So true. And something I just want to say about this event, which this event in life that I don't even know if I've like really gotten to say to you before, is like, I'm so grateful that you were so strong during that period where we had the acquisition. Cause I think I was so low from the losses of fundraising not happening. I was in such a spot of like, God, like, we just need something. So then, because like you said, these people take advantage of when you're at your lowest. That's why the most acquisitions, unfortunately, happen in really down economic times. But when that came, I was like, it looked better. I had rose-colored glasses on. And you, unfortunately, had to have the harder job of being like, get that, stop that, you know? And I was like, but it could be great. And I wasn't thinking clearly because I was in such a bad spot. And you really had to push us through that.
I mean, no, I was thinking of like of the boat I was gonna buy. I was like in the mindset. No, I remember talking to Justin being like, we could go on a trip. Like, I was like, no, I was thinking of like cash is coming, but it never got serious. I tried to reel myself in. This was before we even got the term sheet. I was just like, someone wants to buy us, like, we're gonna be rich. It's okay. I had to reel it in a lot, but it worked out.
I eventually did too. It took me some more time. Yeah. Once we got the terms, you were like, oh, okay. And unfortunately that happens all the time. Like, and it's just great to know, like, I'm so grateful for that experience because it's now clear that that was never supposed to be the acquisition, but man, has it prepared us for if we ever want to do that. And there's also too, like, I also just want to say this, like, if you're listening and you're a solo entrepreneur, that's great. I just really recommend finding those like true trusted advisors, or that cohort of fellow founders that you can share these really hard moments with, because I don't know, I would not be well without having someone to lean on in those
times. Especially if you're a woman too, it's it's hard because there's just less of us, like, female entrepreneurs. And it's hard to, like, I don't know, you know, it's hard to be honest and friendly with other males in the industry sometimes. Sometimes they're great, but yeah, it's tough. But they're out there. Female founders, there's tons of groups. And hey, hit us up. Just like want to chat because
Let's chat. We would love that. And now it's just, coming through that experience, just to share kind of the last bit. So ultimately, we ended up turning that down. And that couldn't have been a better decision. And I feel like that also gave us a lot of power back, because in that time in the economy, we felt so powerless. And being able to make that decision, even in the scariest of times economically, when honestly, it might not make sense for, you know, for us to keep going. We were like, no, we didn't put in all this time and this hard ass work to not win. And that's really amazing, because now looking at where we are today.
Yeah. So we're different. Doing good. We're good. We don't need crap deals. Like, we're in here.
Yeah. And it all just fell into place, because I think the month, maybe while we were saying no to that deal, that's when you reconnected with who ended up becoming our investor.
Yeah, that would have been. Yeah. So this was like the end of 22, early 23. And I had dinner with Robert in January in 23, about a little over a year ago.
Yeah. And that's right. Cause we officially said no the week of January 21st, 2023. So you had like just met, reconnected with him, and they're so amazing. Cascade Seed Fund could not say better things. Like, they've really shown us what everyone always says is, like, your lead investor is supposed to, like, be in the trenches with you and really work with you. And oh my God, they have proven that beyond belief. And I mean, that's why I say us turning down that first term sheet back in 2022, as much as that sucked, I couldn't imagine not having Robert and Julie as our leads.
It's so true. Like, no other investors we've ever had, I feel like we can actually be honest. Like, stakeholders, they want to feel like everything's going great. And it's never been like so bad that we're like, oh, we got to lie about this or anything. But it's, you know, if you don't hit a quarterly projection, revenue projection, it's kind of like, ooh, let's talk about the good stuff only. And I feel like with them, we can be so real, so honest. And they're like, yeah. That happens.
Yeah. Speaking of, we've got to talk about maybe next time, we've got to talk about what went down with getting their deal inked in one of our.
That's a whole nother episode. But yes, that talk about drama and like
a whole other one.
Emotions. Actually, that works well, because we're just now recapping 2022.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So now we got to recap.
Like, we got a whole nother year to recap before we could even dive into new things.
That's actually true, because when all this started going down was February. So that's perfect. We're up to speed on January 2023. Love it. Yes. It's crazy to look back and just see how much we've learned from these experiences, and how much they're helping us chart the course differently now. Like, the way that I communicate with investors, the way that I'm so open now, and like how we do reports and how we're thinking about growth. Like, it's fun to look back and go, wow, we've really changed things up, which is, it's good to see.
Growth.
Growth, baby. I love it. Will you look at that? 40 minutes. I feel like that's a good spot. So I appreciate everyone who's been on this journey with us for the first blend with Ken's and
Chan. I guess we probably need to get a new website. We still got the Freshman Founders rocking, so we'll get that all figured out maybe before this actually goes live. And of course, thank you for listening. Appreciate y'all being here. See you next time.